feet firmly planted on you and our hearts engaged with you, mighty God. We pray for our friend Ted, Lord, and ask, Father, again for his family and him, that you would be with him. The surgery he's facing has him frightened, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you would replace the fear with faith, that you would put in him a confidence that comes from above, and that he would be strengthened, mighty God. Continue to pray for Sharon, Lord Jesus, and ask for her healing and her strength, mighty God. We pray, Father, for Rita. We haven't seen her, and we know her husband is back. And just pray, God, that they're finding a good place of worship and prayer. And just ask, God, that you be with them, Lord. And be with those others who aren't here. I think of Jim and Lucy and others today, Lord, that aren't with us. Just ask again that your Holy Spirit would bear witness to them, that you love them, that you're with them, Father. Let your grace rest upon them, Father. Pray for those like Heather who had property damage in the storm. Ask God again for your grace and compassion to help and work good deeds in that the whole situation, Father.
Yes.
Lord God, we ask above everything that you'll help us to learn to walk with you. Help us to learn to be your folks, Lord, your people. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Let our sins be crushed and dashed under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us understand the power of the cross of Jesus and the forgiveness that flows from you, Almighty God, and how great that forgiveness is. There's always grace with you, Lord. There's always mercy with you for every heart that repents and calls on your name. We pray, Father, for a strength again inside of us that we would learn to live and think and walk in righteousness, Lord. Help us, Father, we pray, in all of our weakness to grow in you, to depend on you. We need you, mighty Father. We need you so much. And we need each other. Now help us remember again to pray for each other, to care for each other, to lift each other up in encouragement and any other way that your Spirit works in us, Lord, that we might be a benefit to one another in our walk with God. Bless us today, Lord, and let us hear your word. Let your word be right. Let it be true the way it's presented and in our ears. Let it be that which helps us to know how to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
John,
1 John chapter 3. And we're talking about what it means to be born of God. It is, it's hard for me not to bring my experience into this type of a message. I grew up with the Bible. I grew up reading the Bible. My family didn't go to church very, very often. We went in spurts and spats, and but I loved the Bible. I loved the gospel. I knew the plan of salvation. I knew it very well. I could tell people what they needed in order to be saved. What's going on back there? What's the mumbling? Okay. Both of you, quiet. All right. So I knew the Bible. I knew the plan of salvation. I seriously remember one time at work, I was talking to somebody, and the subject came up, and I began to relate to them how, Jesus died for your sins, that if you believe in him, your sins can be forgiven, and that you can be, right with God, and that's how you go to heaven. And then I told them after I got done kind of presenting the gospel to them that I said, and all that, and yet I'm not living it. And I knew that disqualified me. I knew that I was missing something. And later, much later, and after a lot of, real struggle in my life, I had this born-again kind of experience with God. But it radically changed how I lived my life and how I understood Jesus Christ and how I understood the power of the gospel. And when you bring up this idea of being born of God or being born again, those experiences come into our minds. They should, And I'm hoping that as we go through this sermon, as we go through this text, that you'll be thinking and being able to align your life with that text, with that idea of being born of God. It's so crucial. It's so crucial to our walk with God, to our understanding of the power of the gospel, This is not just about, do I understand the words? Because like I said, I understood the words. I knew the name Jesus. I had prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. But still, there was something lacking in me. There was not a power within me to do any better in my life. And so I was, you know, smoking dope, you know, being a hippie, acting a fool, and yet I knew everything. I knew the gospel. I had asked Jesus to be my Savior, but I was a mess, right? You don't want to, you know, that is not a good Christian experience, by the way. You know, I'm serious. I mean, that is really, and I've seen that in the neighborhood. I've seen that in folks where the testimony is on their lips, and it's in their mind, but something is still lacking, and that I would consider to be the subject of our text today. Now, children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. And that idea of being born of him is the idea of this kind of spiritual adoption, this spiritual power. You know, Paul does, he talks about it as far as like being adopted into the family, the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit being inside of us, that kind of thing. John, you know, tells about it, about being born again. In John 3, when he talks to Nicodemus, you know, John records Jesus' conversation. And he tells Nicodemus, he says, listen, unless you're born again, you cannot see or be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And John, of course, is confused. And then he says, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. So being born again is a spiritual activity, right? Going back again to John's gospel, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right or the authority to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. So this idea of being born again, born of God, born of the Spirit is a, you know, Johannian. It's from John and his presentation of the gospel. And here he's talking about the idea of sustaining a walk with God. Sustaining a walk with God that is so right, so tight, that when the Lord appears, when the heavens open up and Jesus comes, we won't be ducking and hiding, we won't be ashamed, but it will be our day. It will be our day when we see our brother, our Lord, our Savior, our Father taking us home, right? So this idea of being brought into the family of God, being brought into God's grace and God's power. It's so important, right? The question you might have is, you know, okay, what does you know, this experience mean about me if I have it or don't have it, right? The idea of being born again. And this gets us into John chapter 3, 1 John 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. I've got this, you know, you have to realize part of what's going on in John. He just talked about the Antichrist. He talked about, you know, don't love the world in chapter 2. And so part of what he's talking about is we live in a world of darkness, a world of shadow, a world of half-truths and untruths, and yet God is working in our lives. God, by his Word, by His Spirit, by the work of Jesus Christ, He's working in our lives. He's changing us. He's making us something. And what He's making us is children of God. This is the goal of the gospel. The goal of the gospel is not to build churches. You know that? The goal of the gospel is not to make money off the gospel, right? It's not to get on TV. I'm talking about as a pastor, a lot of agendas out there, right? The goal of the gospel, the goal of the work of Jesus Christ is to make sons of God. Brothers or sisters of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that when Jesus appears, we're going to be his brother. We're going to be his. We're going to be like him. That's what we'll talk about that in a second. But the goal of the gospel is to make children of God. And that is a high calling. That requires, again, a very deep work. It's not just a matter of mimicking words. I've had, you know, a lot of experience with people that, you know, when we talk about the gospel, they'll say the words. And like I said, my own experience was that way. I could say the words, but there was something missing in my soul. There was something missing in my heart. And that is the deeper work of God. God is at work. God reaches in. You know, when I hear somebody say, you know, oh, I tried Jesus or I tried the gospel and that just didn't work to me. I'm still an addict or I'm still doing this or I still struggle with that. It's like, you know, no. No, then you did not try the gospel. You did not have the real thing. You had the words of the gospel. You had the ideas of the gospel, but you didn't have the power of the gospel inside your heart, in your soul, in your body, making you a different person. You know, Paul talks about that as the new creation in Christ, the new creature that we are born. Again, in Galatians, talk about, you know, it's the power of the Spirit that makes that happen. Okay? So, here we're talking about the deep work of God and the high call of God. My goodness, that we get to be the children of God. We get to be part of God's family. That's the work. That's the work of the gospel. We are engaged in that. I pray that every one of us is engaged in that work. You need to be. You need to know for sure. Do you really know the power of salvation that comes from Jesus Christ? This isn't, you know, something to casually, you know, cast aside or blow off, because it's that which gives us the strength to know and to be different. It's not just words. It's not just an attendance record. It's not a name on a list in a church or denomination. This is talking about the Lamb and why He died. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. Jesus Christ died so we could be His brothers, so we could be His sisters. He died so that we could know Him, so that we could be like Him. That's the work of God. That's the call of God. Now, we're experiencing this, and I pray that we're all experiencing this great power and grace, and it just seems like it's so good, it's so rich, that everybody should celebrate that, right? Everybody should be glad that, you know, we're doing good, we're walking with the Lord, we're learning truth and living by that truth, right? That should be an awesome thing, and the whole world should celebrate such a thing, right? And so he explains to us, no. You know, the reason the world doesn't know us is it doesn't know Him. The world has its own definition of right and wrong, its own definition of truth, its own definition of what it means to live in a right manner. God and His call is different. Our concentration is about what God is doing in us. We can't worry too much about what the world says about us or to us, because the world doesn't understand the work of God. And that's what John's kind of hinting at. The world is blind. It's blind to His love. It's blind to our sonship. And we don't want to become overwhelmed by the darkness. We don't want to be overwhelmed by the things that the world is doing and the troubles of the world, right? We want to, yeah, and this is a real important part of just living your life. We want to set our, what is God doing to make me His son? What is God doing to set my heart in the right place with Him? Rather than, oh, did you hear about this or that? Or, you know, what is God doing? How is God helping me? And you know, those of us who have been around for a while, we know it never ends. God's always doing something. He uses the shadow of the world, the darkness of the world, sometimes to, you know, hit our rough edges and help us. But what is God doing to help us be better? Well, dear friends, now we are the children of God, And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. The idea of again, you know, this makes sense in the talk that he had with us earlier, the idea of avoiding the passions of the world, the love of the world. In other words, if your heart's engaged over there, you're not engaged in the work of God. If your heart's engaged with what the world loves and what the world tells you to seek after, to make your passion, right? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, boasting about what we have and do. If that becomes what drives us, it will obviously diminish what God is able to do with us, because if we're directed in towards the world, we're not directed towards God. God is working at making us, again, this image of Christ, this perfect match of our Savior. That is a high calling. We've said it. It's a high calling. But when God is done, you know, we talk about the next part of this is glorification. The part about, you know, the final transformation. In Romans 8, he talks about the redemption of our bodies as the final work of God, where that which battles against God, that which struggles against the Spirit, that which doesn't want to think about heavenly things but earthly things, is done away with, and so that we now will be fully, absolutely like our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's the gospel. That's what we're headed for. But right now, the work is about purifying ourselves. That's what he says. He says, so everyone that's on that plane of, you know, again, being adopted by the power of God, by the power of his gospel, the truth, the wisdom of God, right? We need to be purified, heart, soul, and mind. Everything else goes away. Right? The heart, soul, and mind, they're part, you know, that's who we are that goes into the kingdom. We need the Word of God. We need prayer. We need discipleship. We need to, you know, do all that we can to work along with God. That's what He's asking for. To purify our hearts and minds. Listen, if I listen to the wrong thing all week long, there are going to be some pretty squirrely ideas that start forming in my head. I will start thinking about how to answer questions based upon some worldly wisdom, some crazy, you know, scheme of humanity. If I'm engaged with God, with His Word, with His truth, you know, and it, then, you know, okay, at least I see righteousness. I see what God says is right, what God says is good. The prayer part comes in. God, now give me the ability to carry that out. I see the truth. I understand what you want. But help me, Father, because I really want to be more and more and more like my Savior. I want to have that person of Christ developed in me. I want to get it right. So there's this engagement in prayer, this engagement in discipleship, listening to others, you know, and calling on the name of the Lord all the time. Purifying yourself, even as Jesus was pure. Yeah, I mean, we love to watch how Jesus walked through the world. And you know, Satan came to him and tempted him and tested him, right? And we know he passed. And how many thousands and millions of human beings failed at those very same tests? Jesus was ready. He was pure. He got it all correct. We need to purify ourselves so that as the tests of life continue to come at us, that we're ready and we're purifying ourselves, making ourselves with God more and more and more His. So everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared that He might take away our sins, literally destroy sin. And in Him, there is no sin. No one who lives or remains in Him keeps on sinning. No one continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So here's again the contest and the test of our being born of God, being born again. How are we living our lives? I told you before, in my early experience, I knew the gospel. I knew about Jesus. I could lead you to the plan of salvation. I could lead you in a sinner's prayer. But I could not live the life. And so I was not born of God. I was not walking in line with what I knew was the truth. I was not doing what God had called me to do. And I was not going to be what God called me to be until by His power and by His grace, He gave me what I needed to do that. I would just say simply, you know, look at our lives. Look at how we conduct ourselves. And again, these are very important words. First of all, the power of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ was to destroy sin. I don't know why the NIV says take away, because literally it is destroy sin. Jesus destroyed the power of sin in our world and in our lives. Sin will not stand against those who confess Jesus Christ, who believe in Jesus Christ, who are engaged in this work of God of being born as His children. Sin and accusation will not stand on that day. We will stand in front of Almighty God. And Paul asks the question, if God sent His Son for us, will God accuse us then? If Jesus died for us, will Jesus accuse us? And if the top two, you've got God the Father and Jesus Christ saying you're innocent, who's going to dare to challenge that? Who's going to dare to stand up in front of them and say, wait a minute now? There's no wait a minute. There's no buts. There's no ands. It is simply Jesus Christ died and broke the power of sin, and that is gone. It is gone. But the second part of that is, no one who remains. You remember that you know, in John 15, the vine. You know, he says, every vine that remains in me bears fruit. Every vine, in other words, there's this life connection that goes with us and God. There's this born again, this born of God experience, this life-giving, you know, spirit that God gives us that helps us to remain, to be stable, to be strong, to be intensely engaged with God as we live our lives so that we do not sin. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean so that we don't ever make a mistake, because, you know, that happens, right? What do we say? It's not making the mistake, it's living in the mistake that this is talking about. All the verbs are in the present active indicative, which means it's a continuing action. You know, it's the idea of being a slave to sin, to be so engaged that sin is your lifestyle, right? That's what you do. You sin. You know, when Christians say, and this is a terrible thing to say, when Christians say, I am just a forgiven sinner, that is a horrible depiction of the cross of Jesus Christ. No, I am one, the power of Christ has destroyed the power of sin in my life. And now I am engaged in Jesus Christ, and now I am not going to be engaged in sin. And that's what he's saying. He says, if you're engaged with Jesus, you're not going to be engaged in a lifestyle of sin. Sin is not going to be what identifies you. You know, what kind of a person are you? What do people, you know, say? You can't go by what people say, but you know what I mean. You know, what is true about you? What is true about your life? You know, are you a liar? Well, that's living in sin. Are you a cheat? A cheater? Not that you cheated once, but you're a cheater. So, right, that lifestyle. So, and you can fill in 1,000 descriptions of sin into those categories. What John is telling us is when we're engaged with Jesus Christ, when we're engaged with the work of God, when we are becoming the children of God, sin does not identify us. One, old sin is destroyed, crushed, there is no accusation. Two, the life and love and purity of Christ is in us. So we know how to make the right choices. And we know how to stop. We know how to limit. We know how to have temperance. We know how to be careful around things that might be too attractive for us, whether it's money or alcohol or, you know, what we watch, what we do, you know, whatever it is. We have a power. We have an authority inside of us through Christ. So Jesus destroyed. There's no accusations. We remain in Him and we bear fruit. We have the right kind of thinking, the right kind of mind. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God. And now that statement makes sense, right? Totally, after all we've said. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God. You get the idea of how crucial it is to be born of God, to be born of the Spirit, to be born again, to be that new creature in Christ Jesus, to have the adoption of the Holy Spirit in your life and in your heart, so that God is actually working in your life. Not words, not ideas, but power. Real spiritual power. God is at work in us. How do we know this? This is how we know who are the children of God, the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who doesn't love his brother, and we'll finish that next week. The idea is this, is very simple. The question I guess I raise before you is, you know, that born again, that born of God, born from above, born of the Spirit question. Have you had that power in your life? Is that strength from above in you? Are you finding it like impossible to break old bondages? Are you finding it impossible to limit things, what you see, what you desire? Are you finding it impossible to live up to the thoughts of God? That would call the question, right? What do you do? What do you do? If you find yourself lacking, if you find yourself in need, and you say, you know, Lord, my experience hasn't been that powerful. My experience hasn't been that strong. There's only one place to go. You get on your face before Almighty God. You know, I even forget, I think it was like 30-some years ago now, but there was a period in my life where I got on my face before God. Seriously. I wanted God so bad I would rather have not lived than to go without God. I called on His name for months, and God heard me. You know, if you're having a struggle, and I don't mean, you know, there's a common struggle, but if it seems impossible for you to live that life. You know, when we gather in this space, we gather to worship God. We gather to call on the name of the Lord. And I come here and I get my, you know, heart recharged, the spirit recharged. I'm ready. I'm ready to be with God, right? And then I go out and face the world for another. But the idea of being engaged with God and calling on God and asking God, Lord, my experience maybe has been in words, maybe in thoughts, but not in power. Give me power. Give me power. We need to be engaged with God. We need to be engaged fully in what He's doing. That's what John is talking about. A gospel that doesn't lead us to church attendance or church roles or any other thing. It leads us to the kingdom of heaven and being a part of the family, the real family of God, literally being Jesus' brother, Jesus' sister, and God our Father with us. That's where we're headed. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for the power of your gospel and the words of John, which basically ask us to look at our experience and our walk with you and measure ourselves according to righteousness or not righteousness, doing what is pleasing to you or not pleasing to you. And we pray, Father, above all, that your help will be present for everyone who turns and says, Father, please help me to do better. Help me to walk with you. Help me to know the strength and the source and the power behind the gospel. Help me to know the power of your Spirit. Help me to know the truth of your word. Help me to know the great power of the work of Jesus Christ. For all these things come together to work in this broken world, to work in this darkened world as your light in our lives. Help us, mighty God, to seek you, to love you, to honor you, to be yours, mighty God, and to set the kingdom of heaven so deeply in our heart that that would be the thing above all things that we seek. Bless us, O God, we pray. Bless those who are calling on your name at this hour and looking for your help. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bear witness to the words and the truth of our statements today, and that you would just allow these folks to know, again, the power and the grace and the love and the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. Fill our hearts, fill our minds with you. In Jesus' name, amen.